So you're saying they had a poor quality.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
I'm just stating it.
No.
I'm just going along with
it. No, I think some people might have been listening to that joke and have to pull over to the side of the road. And welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I am Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
We can verify that he is David Dedrick.
I can. I have my passport with me,
mm-hmm.
with my picture in it.
You know, this is our 24th episode. I'm sorry I always ask for ID before you do the show.
It's all right. I understand.
I've been fooled before.
I know. There are several David Dedrick impersonators. Actually, that's true.
Is there?
There are several people. I have the sort of face that people always go, you know what? I have a brother-in-law that looks exactly like you. And he killed
a family in mm-hmm. Vegas.
Yes, that's right. And now you are on the run, Dave.
Yeah, you are not a good guy to have in a lineup because you get the point.
That's right. And I know my mother-in-law sat beside a person who looked exactly like me. So she uncomfortably talked to him as if it was me through the whole plane trip.
You got all that mother-in-law, yap-a-day-yap-bap-bap, huh? Is that how that goes?
Well...
What was the deal with mother-in-law jokes, by the way?
I don't know, because I
like my mother-in-law.
I love my mother-in-law.
Fine. Yeah, I got no problem with that. It's like, that's very, very, very strange.
I love my mother-in-law.
But apparently, if you got married in the 50s, your mother-in-law was a battle axe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They invented the term battle axe just for that.
I think it's, I don't know what that is. Because I think, personally, I think that there's more conflict between wives and mother-in-laws than between husbands and mother-in-laws.
I would agree. I do. I always think like with fathers, though, you know how they used to have like a dowry situation?
Mm-hmm.
I think like because you so often have to deal with so many daddy issues that the dad should just continually write you a check.
Forever after?
For the troubles. Yeah, because, you know, you are picking up his emotional bill, you know, for the rest of your life, probably. So he might as well just, like, cut you a couple of bucks every so often.
But aren't daddy issues unavoidable then? Because it can be both ways. You mm-hmm. can have a really good dad.
Mm-hmm.
That creates daddy issues because you're always looking for someone who is as good or meets your kind of ideal
All right.
dad. Or you could have a terrible dad. In which case, you're always trying to escape that dad, but you always end up marrying that dad.
There's a possibility. I just say, whenever you hear women who complain...
What I'm saying is, you're just making me feel guilty.
Oh, all right.
And I, you know...
And that's a mother-in-law's job.
That's right. What are you, my mother-in-law?
Yeah, you never hear, you know, a woman who's in a whole bunch of bad relationships and going like, yeah, you know, she's got a bunch of mommy issues. Never. It's always like, it's dad that steered this boat.
Men have the mommy issues, right?
Do we?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we do.
We're the ones with mommy issues.
Yeah. Well, Norman Bates certainly did.
He certainly did. He had a lot of issues with his mom.
He did. Did you know that Psycho was a TV series?
I did not know that. In the 50s? Before it was a movie?
No. There was Psycho, and then mm-hmm. which is the classic Hitchcock film, of course. There was Psycho 2.
There's also the French film Psycho. Psychaux.
The French Psycho. And their spelling. Am I right? Yeah, why don't you put a little house on top of your E, you idiots. Anyway, you know what? The rest of us...
That indicated that there was once an S there, and now the S is gone.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. Defend the umlaut next, okay?
I can defend them.
Is indefendable.
It is defensible.
Listen, that's
because it changes the pronunciation. It indicates a change of pronunciation.
From sensible to non.
From the way it's normally pronounced to mm-hmm. a different. So, you know, the U had a more of a U sound with
yeah,
the
Yeah, take it
umlaut.
To IKEA, buddy. We're not buying it here. Okay.
I'm speaking about German. I don't really know what its use would be in other languages.
So they had your Psycho, and then you had Psycho 2. Which mm-hmm. I actually kind of like.
It's good. It's a good movie.
Yeah. Then you had Psycho 3.
I don't think I saw that one.
That is not a good movie.
Okay. That's
then you
why
had
I didn't
Psycho
see it.
4, which was Sounds a made-for-TV movie, which had a little bit of the origin of Norman Bates.
The first one is the first movie is actually called Unipsycho.
Because there should be only one. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know. And then you know what you should actually have to do at the end of your movies?
Mm-hmm.
If you do a movie and you go like, maybe I'm going to lose the rights to this movie at a certain point, just at the very end, like where it goes, no animals were harmed and no sequels to this, please. Just like in real big block letters.
Just a request.
Yeah, just please, no sequels. But like if Alan Moore had done that at the end of Watchmen, you know, just like, and that's the way it ends, and no sequels, please, then we'd be fine.
But there are no sequels to Watchmen.
Oh, that's true.
There are no sequels.
There are, actually, because I know it's a prequel,
yeah.
But because in Watchmen you had things that happened in the past,
yeah.
There will be sequels to the things that happened in Watchmen. So it's both a sequel and a prequel in one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also, as we discussed in the Richard Starkings episode, probably a bad idea. Okay, so you had the four Psycho movies, and then you had one with, I believe his name, who's the guy from Harold and Maude? Is that Bud Cort?
Bud Cort?
Yes, it's Bud Cort. And Bud Cort...
Who's in Psycho 3?
No, he is not. Oh. He is in the Psycho TV series, which was called Bates Motel. And it was a series, and the idea was Bud Cort was a friend of Norman Bates while in the psych ward.
Okay.
And befriended him. Okay. And when Norman Bates died, I don't know how he died, but maybe unnatural causes. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so he died, and then Norman Bates leaves him the motel. And so he takes it over when he's released from the psych ward.
Okay.
And then strange things happen, and it's sort of like the Love Boat, but with murder.
Really?
Yeah, with creepy murder, I think. I think it didn't really get going too far. Much like the Casablanca TV series.
I remember that with David Soul.
And Scatman Crothers. Probably not the best idea.
Yeah.
Also, the It's a Wonderful Life TV series.
I do not remember that.
It was called Clarence. And the idea behind it was, you remember how, like, at the end of It's a Wonderful Life, you know, he gets his wings?
He gets his wings.
Okay, forget the wings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wings. Forget
is that
the wings.
Hooters? He's at Hooters and he gets a plate full of wings in front of him.
Oh, it was an ironic thing.
That's how the movie actually ends.
Because those other angels are tricksters. Well, here's what happens. Apparently, every good deed you do in heaven makes you younger and better looking.
Oh.
Because that's what God cares about.
Yep.
Looks.
He's all about the superficial.
He's all about the abs, the cut right. abs, mm-hmm. and you know, pumping iron and nice full head of hair. And it's, you know, so a young, good-looking Clarence, who's still a bit of a bumbler, is on Earth. And mm-hmm. I guess he screwed up at something. And so now it's basically touched by an angel, but it's Clarence.
But he lost his wings again?
He doesn't have wings, but okay, I think that's because he's undercover. His wings
are pulled off by God. like he was a fly, and he just...
Well, that's kind of a cruel
drop
thing.
Drop him back down to earth.
No, I think he's much like you're touched by an angel or your highway to heaven.
That sounds bad.
It's the same deal. It's a person from heaven trying to put you on the right track, straighten you out, or maybe like Quantum Leap, if you watched the last episode and found out, spoilers, God was involved. You know, it's that kind of business.
I
believe at the end of Quantum Leap.
You cannot leave that hanging there.
I believe at the end of Quantum Leap. Sorry for those of you that are watching it on Netflix and I'm going to watch every episode till I get to the end. But I believe, and this might just me being wrong and remembering it incorrectly.
Okay.
But you find out, like, hey, who's been sending me through time? Like, he steps in whatever the time machine.
Yeah.
But it's like, who's been sending me to all these specific places? It turns out it's probably God.
It turns out it's George Burns.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. But it's not the George Burns from Oh God 1. It's the George Burns from Oh God 3.
There was an Oh God 3?
Oh my gosh. Okay, yes. I'm sorry. Welcome to sequel chat.
You know that where I stand on sequels.
Okay. Oh God is him and John Denver. Oh God Part 2. I think it's just called Oh God Part 2.
It's him and Bob Denver.
That's right. And help me off this island. No. And then it turns out the island's the island from Lost. It's very confusing, but they're all going to heaven. Spoilers on a lot of things. And then there's Oh God, You Devil, and that's the third one.
Oh, okay.
And that was like, there was a whole series of movies around that time where it was like, you know what's funny? The devil. Is he? I don't know.
Yeah, that's right, because there's that one with Bill Cosby and Elliot Gould.
The Devil and Max Devlin.
There you go.
That's right. And so this one had George
Warren. And there's that one with Linda Blair and Max von Sydow.
That's right. It was like That Darn Exorcist.
That's That Darn Exorcist. That's right.
That's right. And why'd we bring a cat to be the exorcist? We'll see. That's right. The exorcist wore tennis shoes. Okay. That actually might
that
be.
That would be pretty good.
That would not be bad. Actually,
that sounds good
when
already.
We're talking about our, we talked earlier about how trilogies, the third one's always the stinkeroo, as per Spider-Man 3, as per your Alien 3, as per your
Matrix 3.
Some people like Terminator 3, but I don't want to say that because I believe the actor from that is missing right now, so I don't want to say anything bad about that. But I think like that series of weird Disney movies where it's like the computer wore tennis shoes, now you see him, now you don't.
Yeah.
I don't know what the third one was, but I think they were all consistently...
Strongest man in the world.
Could be. I think they all were consistently about the same level of
Good. Yeah, that's
right. I think there was no decrease nor increase in quality. I think it was all just good enough.
That's right.
Pat on the back. Out the door you go.
That's right. They're edited so quickly that...
Yeah.
They didn't even edit. They edited it while they filmed it. That's...
simpler
that way.
This feels completely off topic, but it's something I wanted to discuss. What? Since we were talking about movies. We were talking about once again, you know, is there any good sequel? And we brought up the topic of James Bond movies, which don't count as sequels, really.
Not really.
They're just
no.
their own thing.
Yeah.
But something that I like about James Bond movies is that
the women.
I like the women.
Okay.
But it's what's missing. I'm going to say this. Let me do this as a contest for you, David.
Okay.
What is something that if you, say, walk down the street today, you would see that you would never see in a James Bond movie? I'll give you three guesses. Let's go three guesses. You'll never see in a James Bond movie.
Three things?
No, just one thing, but I'm going to give you three guesses.
I don't know. I really can't think of anything. I'm sorry.
That was
kind of
great.
Blanking.
Way to play the game. The important thing is that you didn't try.
Okay, let me guess. So three things. No, sorry. I got three guesses that one thing that you never see.
I got to be like a French parent.
In a James Bond
I
got to
be like a French parent and make you taste.
You're walking on the street. Okay, well, you see cars in those movies.
Yes, cars. So that was your guess one. Cars, incorrect. Okay.
Do you see stores in those movies?
There are some shops. Oh, okay. Yes, that's right. Shops. Sometimes he's like, you know,
walking on the street. Fire hydrants?
Okay, there are fire. They are probably fire hydrants, but I have not seen them. Here's the thing you do not see.
Oh, okay.
Children.
Children, yeah, because you don't want children in those movies.
James Bond lives in a world where there are no children. Mm-hmm. People reproduce asexually, which is why you can have all that good sex with the ladies, because no babies are going to come out of it.
No,
have it unprotected. Knock yourself out. No babies. No one's pregnant. No one he knows has a child.
Yep.
No one has a teenager. No one has like a baby. No one has until you're 2 and 18, you stay in another part of London, man.
Yeah.
And then you get to come out when you're sexy or incredibly old and know how to work a gadget.
Well,
no children.
No one wants to see what Pussy Galore's child's name is.
Kitten around.
Her son?
Kitten around.
No, kitten around galore. No, but I just think in those movies, well, for one thing, they're fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think kids would ground it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it would make it...
And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but like, Pussy Galore, who was that played by? Was that, like, Honor?
Honor Blackman, yeah.
Why not just keep the name Honor Blackman?
That was a real name. It is an awesome name.
That's an awesome name. That's like in, and I'm forgetting the name, but in Hawaii 5-0, where it's like, you like Toro as Kano or something. It's just like, why'd you bother changing it? Just forget it. There's no point. I think my wife Pia, who's behind me, probably knows. But it's fine. But anyway, continue with your point.
I was just going to say, I think that children would ground it in reality.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, just to have, like, you know, he's messing around with women, you know, constantly sleeping with them.
Yeah.
Do we want to see them with their kids?
Nope. No. It's the opposite of every Disney movie, where you have to kill the parents off the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, why would these irresponsible parents be letting the kids go nuts? It's like in the James Bond universe, have to get rid of all the kids so that James Bond can have some fun.
Well, fairy tales, fairy tales do that, of course. I was sorry, I think you were talking about like Super Dad or the computer wore tennis shoes
or
whatever.
No, actually, because that's teenagers, like older teenagers. And older teenagers, you can have the parents because the parents are boobs. And it's like, the kids are boobs, but then the parents are super boobs.
Yeah.
So, they're no help. Yeah. And that makes sense. But if you got like a young kid, you can't send them in the woods for no damn. Like, you got to say, what happened to the parents? Parents died. Ah, fair enough. That's why he's wandering in the woods alone. Understood. And off you go.
Yeah.
Makes good sense.
Yeah. I guess it does.
Yeah. Parents were killed by Voldemort. Makes sense. Off you go. Continue your story, please.
Usually I don't think they kill off all. Usually it's one parent is killed. And then there's like absentee parent. Because, you know, like you never... Oh, no, the dad dies in Snow White, doesn't... Or Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
The father's dead in Snow White, but...
No, the father is alive in... Isn't the father alive in Snow White? And he's marrying the queen? Isn't that...
No, the queen is already there. Like she's
then
already,
why is Snow White hanging around? What's Snow White's relationship to the queen?
Stepdaughter?
But the dad's dead.
Yeah.
And
I believe so.
Really? Yeah. Is the queen trying to remarry? What's her deal?
No.
She's just queen of everything.
She's just jealous because, remember, Snow White is...
No, I get you.
Snow White is named as more beautiful than her by the mirror.
That's fair enough, but let's just go with the logic of this. So you're the queen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're the queen.
Yeah.
And so if you die, like, you got to die, you got to have a male heir. So she doesn't have a male heir. She's got to be, like, finding another king, right? That's her business. She doesn't have time to be poisoning apples, turning into old ladies, talking to mirrors. She doesn't have time to be in the 97 movies she's in right now and TV series. Like, okay, that's – you know what? Like, they got the Snow White and the Seven Huntsmen who are all, like, dwarf ninjas now. You know, we're done. We're done.
Is that the end of it?
There's two – there's, like, two fairy tale TV shows.
Yeah.
I don't know.
One of them I like quite a bit. The other I haven't seen.
Okay. And there's infinite movies about Red Riding Hood and, like, Snow White and – we're done. We're good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I say that after I pitched a Sleeping Beauty plot recently to a comic book company. But I think we're about – thank you.
We're done with the fairy tales?
We're good. You know, maybe you want to, like, move on to Aesop's Fables. Maybe you want to just, like, just mix it up a bit.
I think we should move on to Fractured Fables.
Oh, nice. The Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aesop and Sun.
We've already moved on to Battleship. We've already moved on to We Got Nothing, Let's Look in the Games cupboard. Clue has been a damn movie. Battleship's now a movie.
I thought that was part of the Transformers thing.
I know. We've talked about that.
I know.
Do you know something I did hear, which was interesting, was that apparently the little bolts or whatever that the aliens fire at the Battleship boats are the pegs. They're shaped like the pegs from Battleship.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
It's stupid, but the whole damn thing's stupid.
It is terrible.
It does make me want to talk to Liam Neeson at some point and just go, so what did you turn down? Because there's got to be a no pile.
Well,
what's on it?
Yeah. I think he's just really sad and he's just working.
Well, I think Michael Caine's his agent now.
Well, you know, his wife died.
Okay.
In a horrible way.
Yeah, all right.
In a fluky,
yeah,
like sudden death sort of, you know, taken away from you unexpectedly way.
So you just want to work.
You just want to work through it, yeah.
Okay, that's fair
and
enough.
It's probably kind of fun to be in movies where you're punching things.
And just yelling.
Just a lot of running around and action.
In front of a green screen. That's fair.
You don't want to explore your emotions because, you know, it'd just be terrible. Your emotions are totally raw. And, you know, so all this fantasy and sort of unfeeling nonsense of whatever Taken and...
Wolf Puncher, whatever that last one
Wolf
was.
Wolf Puncher and the other one, I can't remember what it's called now. Unknown, I think it was called.
Yeah, yeah, that was rough.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So we're giving him, how many movies do we give him till he's okay?
The rest of his life, as far as
really?
I'm concerned.
Is that how many he gets? All right, yes, fair enough.
I think if your wife dies from falling backwards on a ski hill and bumping her head.
Right.
You get whatever you want.
You get infinite movies?
Yeah.
All right. I guess as a movie viewer, I will agree to that. Do I have to see all of them?
No, of course you don't have to watch
them. How many
them.
Do I have to see to be a good person?
This is what you do with any movie that you see. You look who produced it. If it says Luc Besson anywhere in it, don't go see that movie.
Right.
Because
stop Luc and do not
do not listen, yeah.
That's right.
Because Well, it's just something about him that he's unable to formulate a movie that actually has an ending. Like, there is never a good third act in any Luc Besson movie. I don't care which movie it is, even that Professional or whatever it was originally called.
The Professional? Is that
what it's called? Yeah, with that guy.
Yep, that guy and that girl. Yeah.
It was kind of creepy and weird.
Yeah, but it was also pretty good.
It was okay, but it made no sense.
Okay.
It had some great action, like, moment, like, you know, had some great
moments
and stuff like that. But
no,
overall, you're just kind of like, what the hell is going on in this movie?
It's actually kind of amazing seeing the Avengers and Cabin in the Woods. And I've just felt like right now, Joss Whedon is master of the third act. Like, as in, he very seldom, you know, now he's just got a nice record for me of like, oh, he actually has somewhere this is going.
Mm-hmm.
And so many movies do seem to be, here's the premise, accelerate.
Yeah.
Oh, we ain't got nothing.
Yeah, we got nothing.
You're watching a movie and you go like, you know, when this comes out on DVD, you know it's going to go with alternate endings because they didn't really have a proper ending. By the way, if you ever see a DVD that says, and the, you know, with alternate ending, don't get it because they didn't have a damn ending for the movie. If your ending can go one of two ways, well, you didn't have an ending, so you don't have a movie, so you don't give a damn. So put the DVD back.
Well, we did kind of touch on this before, and I think it really is because...
Well, I am rubbing it now.
Because stop it. Because because of the pitch culture of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So people have perfected their movie as a pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a great hook. But they haven't thought of it as a script.
Right.
They haven't thought of it as a three-act piece.
Because all you really need is you need it to be a good trailer to get
people in. That's right. You have your escalator pitch. That's slightly slower. It's a slightly slower one.
Okay.
But it rises.
Okay.
So you start low and
Is there an elevator pitch?
I think there actually is an elevator pitch. I was just joking.
No, I like the escalator pitch.
The escalator pitch.
But you find out you're actually going on a down escalator where you're walking up.
That's right. It's never ending.
This is going nowhere.
This is it. Well, that would be good, though, because you'd actually formulate an entire movie that has a beginning, middle, and ending.
And only then, when you finally give up, would you arrive at some place. Oh,
because
nice.
We talked before about Philip K. Dick writing in the 60s. And when he wrote books, they had to be approved by the publisher.
Mm-hmm.
So he would write three chapters, three brilliant chapters, send them off. 6 to 9 months later, he would get it back and they'd be like, this is awesome. Finish it. He'd be like, I have no idea where I was going with this. Like, he could not remember. So you read a lot of books from that time.
Which is why they call that dicking around.
Yeah, that's right. You can read like The Zap Gun or Clans of the Elfin Moon.
Both work.
There's lots of books from that time period where it has this great beginning and then it takes this weird left turn after the third chapter.
The books just come out blank, and you get a pen.
Yeah, that's right. You finish it.
Have it,
motherfucker.
Have some fun.
Yeah. Okay, let's change the topic entirely because I want to get really vain.
Dave, if we're going to change the topic, let's change our hats.
Okay.
All right. Dave was previously wearing a cowboy hat. He's now wearing a pirate hat.
I was wearing
a baseball cap, and now I'm wearing a Viking hat.
Okay.
And we begin.
Go. So if you remember last week.
Oh, do I?
I started the show
so we were, how,
with a
were
rather...
Were we ever so young?
Were we ever... Just remember that time? I started the show with a rather smooth opening in which I implored desperately...
You are the Sade of podcasters, yes.
Sade, that's suave and debonair was the... Yes, that was right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was kind of like a request or an imploring or begging, whatever you want to call it, people to review the show, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I believe you started the show with, hello, podcast listeners, I'm not a bum. Listen,
but,
here's my story. My car broke down and I got this podcasting equipment. And listen, I'm a good God-fearing Christian man and you look like a good man yourself.
Yeah.
Listen, I never asked this, but listen, no, please don't walk away. Listen, listen to the podcast.
My wife's in a hospital in North Vancouver.
Yeah.
What I need you to do is write a review on iTunes so I can get to visit her.
Yeah, if I could just get that bus ticket. I'll get a bus ticket if you just write. Give us a couple of stars on iTunes.
Couple of stars on iTunes. Well, it turns out that we did.
God bless you, sir.
It turns out we did have reviews on iTunes.
What?
Except they're on the American iTunes, which, living in Canada, we do not get. We can get it, though.
Yeah.
You can go to other countries and look at their iTunes.
Right.
If you go down to the bottom of the page, there's a little circle with a flag in the corner.
All we have to do is go to another web page. I married an American woman so that I could read these things.
Yeah, I'm an American. I am an American. I didn't have to marry anyone.
I could have married you. We could have got gay married. We could have seen the thing. We could have got gay divorced.
What, same day?
Yeah, that's Canada.
Seems kind of cheating.
Is it?
It's like getting your green card.
Okay, fair enough.
They'd ask us questions like what we knew about each other.
I think I went a better route marrying an American-Canadian person 6 years ago. I think that was a better way to go.
I'm thinking though, if we did go through that, we would know an embarrassing amount about each other.
Really?
That would be really convincing.
I think over the course of this podcast, that will come out regardless. I think that would have been pulling the Band-Aid off nice and quick. And this podcast is a slow tug, pulling every hair out of the arm.
So one of our listeners, Nick Buono,
shout out to Buono,
yes, who also liked us on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
See, it all works. But he said, I've reviewed you, but we couldn't see it.
You idiot.
Yeah, you idiots. What are you talking about? So I went there.
Are
you
blind?
There were two reviews. So it was really nice. And his was really nice. And they're both people that heard you on the Caustic Soda podcast.
Right. Shout out to the Caustic Soda podcast.
And so they liked what they heard and they came to Sneaky Dragon. And
nice.
They still liked what they heard, which is unbelievable. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the one review described us as a stream of consciousness podcast, which I loved because it gave me... I was finally able to describe it to someone a couple of days later because someone said, what do you do? Mm-hmm. I said, well, we do a kind of funny stream of consciousness podcast. And I was like, thank you, AUC Otter. Whatever I think that was what the person's name was.
Okay.
They're like, because, you know, you can't use your own name apparently if you review things.
Oh, is that right?
I don't know because.
I think you can. I think you completely can. I've used my own name. I think people don't online. That's fine.
I think if you want people to know that you're reviewing it, you should sign your name to those reviews.
Well, thank you. See you next Tuesday for that review. Appreciate that. That's great.
I think it was AUC Otter who called us Stream of Consciousness.
Sure.
But I like that. Don't you like that?
I like the name AUC Otter. That sounds like a very Canadian name. It's odd they're American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're Canadian writing on the American site.
Oh, they could be. Subversive.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've snuck over the border. You know what? Both of you who wrote those reviews, we'll make you an honorary Canadian if you want. And you don't even have to marry us. Well, you couldn't because you're a Yankee Doodle. But you don't even have to marry us. I'm going to – that's the way Canadian citizenship works. If a Canadian goes, you're a citizen, boom, you are. So I'm going to say both of you
mm-hmm. –
by the way, I'm going to throw that out there. Anyone who writes a review in America of us – is an automatic Canadian citizen. And you don't have to renounce your citizenship.
Okay.
No, you can embrace it.
But as an American?
Yeah, you don't have to renounce your...
They seem to really frown on dual citizenship.
Oh, they do. You know why? Because that involves math.
That's right. How can there be more than one of you?
Yeah, what's this on the census? We've doubled our population. I'm confused.
It confuses border guards.
Ugh.
They're looking at, how come there's two citizenships? There's only one of you.
Wouldn't you think we've run into that, you know, in the past, me and my good lady wife, Pia. And yeah, it's that kind of confusion and business. You would think if anyone knew about that, it would be border guards. That's sort of day one. Yeah. This might happen. You're between two countries.
Yeah.
You might find someone with dual citizenship between these two countries. Mm-hmm. In fact, this would probably happen every damn day. But yeah, you're showing them that going, yeah, I'm a dual citizen. Guy? Like what? What? Like how long have you been working here? Probably years.
Yeah.
What? You've worn a groove into your chair, clearly.
But does this happen coming into Canada through the Canadian?
I don't know. It's always a nightmare going across anything. It was so nice doing cons in Vancouver and in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was a dream. It was a dream. It's just so nice.
No
just
border crossing?
No border crossing. No nonsense. Mm-hmm. Just me and Honky Tonk Man having a good time.
I have to say that, going down to Seattle last time, it was a breeze. I had no problem at all.
Sometimes it's a breeze and sometimes it's a hurricane.
Here's what I've learned. Do not mention comic convention.
Yeah.
You don't need to say that.
Oh, it's confusing.
You do not need to say that. Well, all you need to say is, I am going down to this place for a few days.
Right. Well, that's
good. They don't care.
That's good with the drivey drive. When we're going across the airlines,
yeah.
If you go, usually if you say, I'm going to a comic book convention, they look at you with such pity in their eyes, that it's just like, you'd never make that up.
Yeah.
Off you go.
Yeah.
That's fine. One time we had a guy at the border up here at the airline. It was like, we're going to a Comic-Con. Oh, I know Kevin Smith. Like, oh, that's nice.
Okay.
And then he told us too many Kevin Smith stories.
Oh.
To where like, okay, but you can't go, we should be going, because he's the guy who says you should, can be going.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just like, oh, this guy's got it made with his boring stories. Like he's got a captive audience that's got to please him. And you cannot leave until he is done.
All your body language was like, you were pointed towards the door. Your feet were like,
it's getting late.
Oh, you're looking at your watch.
Yeah.
I gotcha. The other thing that was interesting, I just want to go back to the iTunes for a second.
Do it. Maybe if I mention Kevin Smith, we'll have increased our iTunes ratings.
Yes, by one.
Just by saying that.
We can't go any higher. We have 5 stars. if you go to...
6 stars, Dave.
Is it 6 stars?
We can. I like drawing a star on my screen.
On your screen of your
computer. I like taking a little sticker, straw,
a
star, and I just put it on the screen next to the stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like taking smiley faces. And when I read reviews of my work, no matter like how bad they are, I put a little smiley face at the bottom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, aw.
Good work.
There we are. Good work. Keep it up.
Keep it up. Good work. Smiley face. No, this because then I realized, I never realized before that there was a Canadian and an American iTunes. But it explains why there were so many top podcasts that were Canadian.
Yeah.
Because I always wonder, I'd be like, gee, these shows are amazingly popular really in the States. Boy, that's strange.
Yeah, I think one I worked on was like the number one Canadian comedy podcast.
Yeah.
Irrelevant Show was up there for a bit. And yeah, I was like, oh, that's great. And it's Canadian. You know,
See, but I didn't realize that. So I would have been looking at it thinking, gee, that's great that it's popular, that popular, like everywhere. I didn't realize that it makes sense now that, you know, because of licensing and things like that, that
CanCon restrictions
and also, yes.
Basically, being Canadian is like having a giant asterisk next to you. Mm-hmm. Everything you achieve, you have to like, and let's bring out the asterisk.
Yes.
I've been nominated for this award. Asterisk. I've won this. Asterisk. I'm the most popular this.
Yeah.
My name is Oblix, and I'm best friends with Asterix.
Well, it's true, because in Canada, you know, for music, you know, a certain percentage of airtime has to be devoted to Canadian music.
That's right.
So pretty much, particularly in the past, I think now we could almost kind of like throw away the crutches.
Yep.
And then we have so many great acts, you know.
Feist, I'm a big fan of that idea. Feist,
Arcade Fire, Broken Social Scene.
And people will say, though, the reason that you know of them is because of
Nickelback.
Well, all right, you know, winner, winner, winner. And there you go.
That's my impersonation.
It's too damn easy to bash Nickelback. I'm not going to participate in your nickel bashing.
They used to live out in Abbotsford.
In like one big house?
I don't think in one big house. I think one of them lived in one big house and another one lived in another big house.
I love the idea they live in a tree house.
Together?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Solve mysteries.
Have a special like Nickelback car?
Yeah.
The Nickelback car. Hatchback?
Yeah, the Nickel Hatchback.
Nickel Hatchback. Okay. I like it.
That's what they drive around.
Sure, it'd be like a Pacer or a Gremlin.
That's right. And every so often they would team up with Anne Murray.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be like the Scooby Doo Mysteries, and like Anne Murray, what are you doing here? It's just like, well, someone's been killing snowbirds or some bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you go to town.
Snowbirds, not the bird, but the actual people who leave Canada to go to warmer climates.
Oh, I was just thinking the pilots.
Oh, the pilots of the snowbird planes.
That's right. Yeah,
that are like aren't they like formation flyers. They fly in a squadron.
And there was a murder that occurred in the sky. Who could have done it? There's only room for one pilot, and he was murdered. And then Anne Murray and Nickelback have to solve that mystery.
Is there an American equivalent of the Snowbirds?
Yes.
Blue Angels?
Yes, that's correct. I believe.
Is there an
American... When they fly, they only play blues music.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. Da, 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 da. They're very slow. They fly very slow.
Got up this morning.
Da, 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 da.
Put on my fighter pilot helmet. Da, 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 da.
And they fly drunk.
Put on my fighter pilot jumpsuit. Da, 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 da. Went out to my jet. Boo, doo, doo.
Yep, there you are.
I like it.
All right, if you need more time to finish it.
No, that's all right. I'm done. As usual, what am I going to say? Want more descriptions?
Yes.
Grab my joystick. Da, 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 yeah. Da. I really like grabbing my joystick. Da, da, da. Did I mention I like grabbing my joystick? Da, da, da. Okay.
This is taking a turn. We were trying to have a nice little Anne Murray and Nickelback sketch, and you had to make it a big slam on the... Yeah.
So
remember, by the way, anytime everyone, if you're playing the Sneaky Dragon drinking game, every time Dave goes there, you take a drink.
Yes. And you'll maybe take one every 6 months.
That's right.
It's a really slow game.
It's part of an AA program.
We want you to pace your drinking games.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. So every time we make a funny joke, take a drink.
That's right. We used to have a podcast called Drinky Dragon.
We don't want anyone to hurt themselves, so, you know, don't take a drink whenever we laugh at our own jokes. Mm-hmm. You will die.
Right.
You will have alcohol poisoning. That will be the end of you.
That's right.
But America has Blue Angels. We have the Snowbirds. But I don't think America has the equivalent of the musical ride.
No, they do not. See? No, I do not think they have the musical ride.
In their faces.
Good for you. In your faces, America. This is also a new segment of our show. You know what? You can say that because you're American.
I'm American,
I can't because I've got to cross borders
in
every
my faces.
So often.
In my faces,
that's
America.
Right. That is a self-loathing thing.
Well, yeah, that's kind of odd. Well, because I'm mostly Canadian. Mm-hmm. So I have sort of a self-loathing Canadian-American thing.
Right. So then you insult the American side of you, mm-hmm. then you apologize.
I apologize
after.
To it. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
And then how does the American side of you feel
punch
about
me
that
in the face.
Canadian? I would say the American side of you just doesn't even know the Canadian side was talking
that's
to it.
That's true. Probably it's what it is. What were you talking to? Who? What? I have a Canadian side?
Yeah. Every so often, the American side will ask the Canadian side for a glass of water.
True.
And then you just say, oh, that's really good. That's Where'd really that come good. Out of? Yeah. What bottle did that come out of? The tap, good sir. The tap, my friend. Yeah. And it goes like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Have we mentioned we're Canadian? Have we beat that horse to death? Do they have horse beatings in America? Or is that just a Canadian?
The musical horse beating?
Yeah, the musical horse beating, which is really sad that we started our Olympics with that.
Yeah.
We actually, if those of you that did not see the Vancouver Olympics, we started off by having the musical ride, which ends with a Mountie beating a horse to death with his fists. It's a very dark, well, you know what they say, if we don't, the Olympics is cursed.
Yes, right. What? So that they have to be, they'll fly to the United Kingdom for their Olympics this summer?
Oh, well, no, because we're not running that one.
Oh, okay.
It's
only for the Calgary and the Vancouver Olympics that such a thing happened.
Right. What happens in the UK with their Olympics is, and this is per the UK tradition, is the Queen comes out and will bare knuckle box any man who approaches. And if
Queensbury rules.
That's right. And if she fails, they get one room of Buckingham Palace for life.
Wow.
That's how it works. But
nice.
it's only for the Olympics.
But only if you beat her.
That's right. If you beat her.
Which is hard to do because she is one tough cookie.
If she beats you, then you have to put on one of those big hats and be a palace guard for the rest of your life.
Is that right?
That is the rules.
And you're not allowed to smile.
No, you can't. Well, you don't smile. What happens is she hits you in the face so hard that she knocks the smile. You know when a parent goes, I'm going to slap that smile right off your face?
Okay.
I know we don't say that anymore because it's like child abuse, but she's a bit of an old schooler. She will actually knock that smile just clean off your face, and that's why those guys never smile.
I don't say that anymore. To my daughters, I say, I'm going to peel that smile off of your face.
Aww.
Because that's, you know, much less violent.
Is it? That sounds much more disturbing. That crosses over into Saw territory.
Does it?
Yes, I would say so. I have not seen any Saw movies, but I have read the descriptions on Wikipedia.
Is that what you do?
Yeah. I don't want to see that shit. I don't want to see that.
No.
But I do want to know what's going on just for pop culture reference in case I have to make fun of it at some point in the future.
I guess that makes sense.
I want to know, are they wearing a bear trap on their heads? Well, I should know that. That's something that might come in handy at some point.
Are they wearing a bear trap on top of their heads?
Yep.
That's on top of their heads?
Yeah, just on top of their heads.
Like,
they're scared of bears. That's the point of the Saw movies. Did you see a bear? I saw a bear.
Okay. They're afraid of bears stepping on their heads.
That's right. Yeah, it's all about...
That's a really specific fear.
For those of you who have not seen the Saw movies, it's all about bear attacks.
Okay.
Yeah.
I never saw them.
And Dave, do you know what the killings are? Grizzly.
Yes. I can't think of anything funny to add to that.
Well, so. I couldn't think of anything funny about 30 seconds ago, but you didn't shut me up. What's that? Oh, it looks like our reviews are going down to 3 stars.
3 stars.
That's right. Are there any takebacks on iTunes? Can you just go, you know, second thought.
Like I think you could actually. You could just re-review it.
True.
Give it 1 star and kind of pull your review down at an average. So you take it between those two.
After all this America bashing and bear boosting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No one likes bears. And everyone loves America.
Mm-hmm.
World famous for how much is loved.
People like polar bears and they like koala bears. Aside from that, they don't like bears.
People like koala bears, yeah.
Oh, of
which
course.
Aren't really bears.
They aren't really bears.
They're not really
because
bears.
They gave up their bear citizenship when they were sent to Australia for the crimes that they committed.
Is that right?
Right. Well, the reason that koala bears are there because they used to be American bears.
Mm-hmm.
They did some terrible things.
Yeah.
And were sent there, and they had their. It's very rare that an animal has its citizenship revoked.
Yeah.
And it was so bad what they did that they had their species revoked. They were like, "You are no longer bears. You're now your own thing. Off you go."
Hmm. So you're saying they had a poor quality.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
I'm just stating it.
No.
I'm just going along with.
No, I think some people might have been listening to that joke and have to pull over to the side of the road. Just get outside, get some air.
And retch.
That's right, a little bit. You know what?
That's
why we recommend, before you listen to this podcast, drink some ginger ale.
But you just said, I think I just threw a little in my mouth.
At least it was a little. It could have been worse.
When
we went on long car trips, my grandparents would always give us like, we were like, oh, because we're nauseous in the back seat.
Yeah, of course.
It's incredibly hot. And for some reason, you don't roll down the windows because you're with
your grandparents. And there were 70 cars. So they had that suspension that was like floaty.
Yeah.
And so it was just kind of like, whoa, like you're constantly on an ocean.
Yeah. Right? We're in the back. They've given us pillows and a couple of books to read.
Mm-hmm.
We did. We read. What are you going to do? Nothing in the back?
Well, I know, but books are almost certain way to get carsick.
Yeah, I guess so. So we get like nauseous, and then Grandma and Grandpa would give us these candies that were humbugs.
Okay,
called humbugs.
What are they?
They're like brown British terror candies.
But what do they taste like?
Horror and nightmares. They sound the sadness and
like are they butterscotch?
No,
caramel.
They're more molassesy. Maybe let's go with this. They're minty molassesy. They're called humbugs. What do you think a humbug tastes like? Good. It tastes terrible.
If so, something has lasted,
yeah. Well, it's like it's the primo grandma candy. It's okay. The kind of candy you have in a bowl, and okay. And you can have infinite children around, and no one will eat it. You know, so it's just like it's a good decorative candy. But she brought it with her, and she gave it to us, and now I can't have it now at all without getting instantly nauseous because the sense memory just like shoots me right to there. Mm-hmm. It was like there could not have been a worse candy.
Oh, I'm sure my dad meant it for the best, but he would always share his Juicy Fruit gum with us when we went on long car rides.
Right.
So Juicy Fruit gum, like the mere sniff of it, you know.
So you take a sniff, you pull it out, taste is going to thrill you, but you threw up in your mouth.
That's about it. I just, it really makes me nauseous. Like I just, or nauseated. Makes me nauseated.
Sure.
Not nauseous, because that's a totally different meaning.
Is it?
Yes, it means that you are nauseating.
Oh, well.
So I'm not nauseating.
Sometime. I don't know. We just made a guy pull his car over and like retch a little bit.
I guess that's true.
That's fair.
I guess I am kind of nauseous as well as nauseated.
I liked Wrigley's. They were the king of gum back then. You had your
There another gum?
Juicy Fruit.
Was there another gum?
Double Mint. You had your Spearmint, which seems to me here's the problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got your Big Red.
Yeah.
Double Mint. You got your Juicy Fruit, and then you got Spearmint. Yeah. Run out of names, jerk.
Yes,
you know how we're doing this?
Yes,
we're doing funny names. We're doing funny names.
Okay, what's the funny
name?
Got?
Well, you got your Juicy Fruit. It's like descriptive. Big Red.
Yeah.
It sounds nice. Double Mint. I get you. It's like a doubly minty. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
And Spearmint. We're just going to call it Spearmint, huh? Yeah. That's it. The
end. The flavor. It's Spearmint flavored.
Yeah. It's like
Spearmint is an actual thing.
We got like Goofy Grape. And we got, you know, Piggly Peach. And what do you got there? Orange. No, we've got something going. We've got a pattern going.
Orange.
Spearminto.
Spearminto? You think that's good?
I don't know.
That's not better than Spearmint.
Shakespearemint. I don't
care.
That's
terrible too.
I know it's terrible. I think it's absolutely terrible.
I think they tried to find a name for it.
Did they?
And there was no name for it.
So they just went with a straight name?
They just went with Spearmint.
My feeling is probably Spearmint came first. And then they went, we're going to do another mint. Well, you can't just do another mint. What are we going to call it? Another mint? No. What do you got? How about it have to be twice as good to make it? All right, double mint. What's that mean? It means nothing. Shut up. There it goes out there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
Like I don't know about you, but I can kind of remember when like you first started to see like Dentine gum or Trident. Was that another
one? Well, you had Adams gum before then.
I don't really remember Adams gum.
It was weird because you had Adams gum, which was a lot of fruit flavor. We had mint, but you also had like a lot of fruit flavors, but it was all like sour cherry and sour apple. And like you just eat it and like as a kid, it would just be toxic to you and terrible.
But you remember how excited you were when Hubba Bubba came out?
Yes.
And you're like, Hubba Bubba.
And finally, I don't have to cut my gums up. With hard bubble gum
from a pack of your hockey cards.
It would just slice like Wolverine.
I love that candy.
Like Wolverine was trying to get out of your face.
I love those sticks of gum. I loved how they tasted, and I loved how brittle they were.
Yeah,
they were like eating glass.
Yeah,
more than like eating gum. But I love them. They were awesome.
They were tricky. So you were not a Bubble Yum fan or a Hubba Bubble.
I liked Hubba Bubba. Yeah.
Bubblicious.
Bubblicious was okay.
Mm-hmm. A bit of an also ran.
I think Hubba Bubba was the Supremo.
Because it would not stick to your face.
It wouldn't stick to your face. That's right. You could blow enormous bubbles. You could pretty much take the whole package, put it in your mouth, and then just blow enormous bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just thinking now, I learned to blow bubbles before I learned to whistle. Because I remember a friend taught me to whistle, and I taught him to blow bubbles. That was our exchange. And I realized,
nowadays, kids would do that on the internet.
But I realized when we were doing it is that you cannot teach either skill. Do you know what I mean? Like you can describe what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, you know, make it flatten it against your teeth or flatten it, you know, and poke it with your tongue and then blow in that.
Here's what it would be like. I'm like a little kid and you're another little kid and I'm chewing gum and I blow a bubble and you ask me, Dave, like, how do you blow a bubble?
Wow. How did you do that? How do you blow a bubble?
I guess you had to be there, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had to.
Yeah.
Because there's this, but it's the thing with whistling though. Like you know how to whistle, right, Steve? You put your lips together and blow.
Wait a second. No, are you and Steve doing a film noir movie at this point?
Yeah.
Are you a little Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart? All right.
To have and have not. You know the scene, right?
Yeah.
You put your lips together and blow. No, you don't. Because if you put your lips together and blow, you get this. That's not whistling.
Right. Well, that's the rest of that movie is him just doing that.
That's right.
Until he hyperventilates and passes out. It's a real sad scene.
To have breath and have not.
Okay. All right.
It's, yeah. And so, yeah, thinking back, I mean, that was the exchange between us. But I just think it's kind of curious that I do remember that, but I learned to blow bubbles before I learned to whistle.
Mm-hmm. We used to have a thing when I was a kid. Do we talk about our childhoods enough? I used to have a thing when I was a kid, which were sip sacks. And when it was in Montreal, there was a place called Perrette's, and we had sip sacks. And the way they worked was it was a bag of juice. You know how you bag of milk?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Now imagine a small version of that, but it's full of real sticky juice. And you get like a lemonade and an Orange-Aid and a Grape-Aid. And you have a super sharp straw, like it's
okay.
The tip is sharpened to where you could stab anyone to death with it. It's as sharp as baseball bubble gum.
Yeah.
Okay. And the deal is you got to hold the sack in your hand and stab it just enough to get in, but not so much that you go through and give yourself stigmata
and spill your juice everywhere.
Yeah. And spill your juice everywhere. But if you stab it too little, it'll bounce out and you've now got a juice hole and you got to just like shove it to your face real fast. And of course you're just spurting the stickiest stuff in the world everywhere. And that was a bit of a nightmare.
Were they an actual sack or were they kind of shaped like a triangle?
They were shaped like a little pillowcase.
Okay. Cause I remember ones that were kind of like those sort of Tetra Paks where they're shaped as a triangle.
Right.
And you had to stab them with a straw.
Well, the first Tetra Pak that I remember being here was Super Socko. And it was like, mm-hmm. Oh, it's a box with a straw.
Yeah.
Sensible. Good. Yes. Well done, you.
Yeah.
Whoever did this. Yes.
And for some reason, I always associated the name with soccer. I don't know what AOI.
Well, because it had a soccer ball on it.
Oh, well, that's why.
One, it had a soccer ball on it. Two, all the ads had people playing soccer.
Oh.
And it was called Super Socko.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Okay.
If it was called Basebo and had a baseball bat on it, then you would also you'd be forgiven.
That would be inexplicable.
Do you know they called Big Red because it was red, right?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Though, not bigger than any of the other gums.
Do you know, I was watching... Yes, it's not. Do you know what I was... But it's got a bigger flavor.
Well, it's like same size red.
Cinnamon.
Average red.
I was watching a commercial the other day, and they were using those bags of milk in the commercial. Do you remember?
Yeah. Oh, well, I haven't seen the commercial, but I know what a bag of milk is.
Yeah.
We used to have those as a kid.
Yeah, we used to have those, but I thought they were long gone, but they were using them like... This is a recent commercial, and it wasn't like retro.
To have like a milk fight and just like hocking them at each other?
Yeah, well, no, they were like pouring milk like for a recipe or something,
mm-hmm.
And she was pouring milk... In one of those plastic baggy things.
Which to me seems now gross because it's got the open end that never closes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, why do you want that? Why do you want the open bit in your fridge? You know, with your onions and your whatnots.
Your sardines and whatever else you keep in your fridge.
Yeah, it's an Italian family you live with.
Onions and sardines.
And anchovies and garlic.
Anchovies and garlic. Garlic in the fridge, best place for it.
Right. Dave lives in a pizza restaurant.
Mamma mia.
That's the name of his restaurant.
That's right. Che bello.
That's the name of the restaurant next door.
That's true. It's an Italian neighborhood. So
yeah, that was a flawed system with like open top that like can suck in all the stinky smells and make your milk lousy. Yeah, it makes more sense with like a container that you just seal up.
Yeah.
Or like a Super Socko container would also make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you're right. No, we had the disaster with that milk of it sliding out of the holder while we were pouring it one night. Yeah.
That's the other flaw in that
system. I wonder if we...
Maybe have a strap on top that like would prevent that. That wouldn't be hard to like do. Open it, strap, there you go, done.
I wonder if we here in British Columbia, Canada, North America, world, solar system, Milky Way, universe...
What are you, six?
I wonder if we were just such big babies about those that they took them away, gave us plastic jugs... And everywhere else in Canada, they're still using environmental baggy thingies that you have to snip with a pair of scissors before you drink.
Yeah. That's the other flaw to the system. You got to bring out a pair of scissors.
Mm-hmm.
No, the milk containers, yeah, like any kind of milk containers, milk bottle, you just open it up.
They were weird.
Milk bottles?
The whole milk bag thing.
They were wrong.
You bought them in another bag. There was three to a bag.
There was
in
three
the bag.
To a bag. Yeah. That's right. Always three. A three-er.
Yeah.
You know, here's another thing that we went out for dinner. You, me, my lovely lady wife, Pia, and her sister, Victoria, mm-hmm. who I'm related to by law.
Yes.
Our mother-in-law did not come with us.
No.
But not because I have any ill will towards her. It's just incredibly late at night.
Yeah.
And she is not in the city.
Okay.
Okay. So we go out and you order, I believe, a nice tea. I order a lemonade and Victoria order and Pia orders a nice tea as well. And then Victoria orders a tea.
Yeah.
Now she works in a tea shop.
Yes.
Among other things. She does other work. She's also a filmmaker.
Yeah.
But she works in a tea shop and she poured her tea and scalding hot water covered the table.
That's
now
it.
This is why I don't drink tea in restaurants because it's a shit system. It's a shit system.
Why?
It's like, okay, I used to drink coffee.
I disagree with you, but
well,
you go on.
Well, here's the situation. When I ask for a cup of coffee, and I used to drink coffee, I don't really anymore because I'm off of caffeine. But like someone would come and pour me a cup of coffee. That works. I ask for a Coke. I get a thing of Coke.
Yeah.
You ask for a tea. Here's a bunch of business.
Oh,
you get a cup. And then you get maybe a metal thing there that mm-hmm. maybe works. Maybe it's scalding hot. Maybe it's untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a guessing game when it's already. You don't know when things went in there. And odds are every time I would do it, I would end up with a table full of scalding water that I'd have to jump up because the boiling water is coming towards my lap and it's gonna burn me. It's a terrible, terrible system. They have no proper teapot that makes sense that does not carry with it the possibility of scalding and nonsense. And it's the only dangerous thing they give you at your table. If they bring you that sizzling platter, they go, careful, it's incredibly hot. Be very, very careful.
Yeah.
But if they give you tea, you're on your own, fucko. Good luck. Enjoy your third-degree burns, jerkwad. You know, there you are.
What kind of restaurant do you go to?
I go to Fuck You Teetotaler.
Well, if I can just throw this back in your crabby, decaffeinated face.
Teetotalitarian.
Teetotalitarian, yes, that's me. I don't even drink tea. How does that work?
Are you part British as well?
Am I part British?
Are you as well? You're Canadian and American. Are you also British?
No.
Okay.
By ancestry, yes.
Okay. I've got right to abode in England, so I can say this.
You're
kind of
much
thing.
Nearer than I am.
All right, but please continue.
My relative came over in the 1700s mm-hmm. to New York.
Because he was scared of ghosts.
He was scared of ghosts, so he left England?
Which is full of ghosts. And he
full
went,
of ghosts.
There's less dead people there's in less, North America.
Yeah.
I'm going to come here and there's less ghosts.
Yeah, yeah. That's why he came. You're right.
That's why the pilgrims came as well.
That's exactly why.
They're terrified of ghosts.
They're terrified of ghosts. Yes, they wanted to their right to worship without ghosts.
That's right.
They needed elbow room without ghosts.
Okay. I'll try and find that Schoolhouse Rock. Thanks for bringing it up.
No problem.
All right.
So this with tea, what I like about tea, I don't drink tea.
Was that a ghost?
I don't.
No, that wasn't. Okay.
No, okay.
That was scary.
Sorry.
All right. Your tea. You don't like tea.
I don't like tea. But what I like about tea in a restaurant is that it is so personal. There is no other, like when you get coffee, you get whatever the hell they've made in a jug. They pour it into a cup and they give it to you.
Right.
Good or bad.
Right.
Swill or awesome coffee.
Okay.
Tea. You get control. Like you said, you don't know when they put the bag in. They don't put the bag in. You mm-hmm. put the bag into the hot water. They
right.
bring you the hot water. They bring you the bag. You can put the bag in there. You can put it in for like 1 second.
Sure can.
And have the weakest tea that anyone's ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can leave it in there till it's as black as coffee and tastes like a, you know, like a pit of acid. Whatever way you want it. It's yours. Your choice.
Right.
You know? I like that about it. I like that it's a personal
okay.
thing that you can...
Well, but here, what
your thing,
what you're describing,
what you want is like food with training wheels.
No,
you
no,
want
I'm
them
not.
To like
I'm asking for food
you...
prepared by professionals. You're saying,
but,
you know what I like? I like making my own food. Great. Stay at home.
But
do
you can't,
that.
But
a restaurant is
no,
for bringing you food. They, the professional who knows what they're doing has prepared for you.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe that's true.
Who
but
training?
The problem with tea, the problem with tea is that not everyone likes tea the same way.
And you,
you know,
say,
and so maybe you could have various levels of strong to weak tea
okay.
or whatever, but...
But have you ever gone to a restaurant and ordered eggs? That is not the end of the conversation. The person doesn't just walk away like, well, we're done here. You then keep that conversation going and go like, and I'd like them over easy with the yolks, medium hard, and then the professional who you're paying
yeah.
to perform this service
yeah.
Makes that for you, brings it to you, and that's how that goes. And then here's the tea. Do it yourself, no, you jerk.
See, you are ignoring the
fact. If you could build your own table, too.
But you don't do it. Ian, you don't drink tea, right?
Not anymore.
And you were probably never really like a big tea drinker.
I was actually. I was a big tea drinker.
I don't think you were.
I was.
I don't think you were.
My parents used to serve tea with dinner.
I have a friend who is a tea drinker.
Oh, okay.
In the sense that he has, you know, like he has a set of shelves mm-hmm. with about 20 different tea varieties on it.
Right.
And he asks you or people who are there who are drinking tea what kind of tea they'd like.
Right.
And you get to choose a tea.
Right.
And he sets a timer.
Yeah.
He puts the loose leaf into a little holder.
Right.
It goes into the teapot once it's boiled.
Yes.
And then he puts on a timer, so right. it stays in there for a certain amount of time.
Sure does.
Because he doesn't want it to be too weak, but he doesn't want the tannins to start to come out into the
tea.
That's
right.
So, you know,
he serves you your tea.
Yeah.
Then he cuts off your skin and wears it as a coat because he's a crazy man.
But I'm just saying. But I think.
Look at my Dave skin when coat.
When you're talking about tea drinkers, you're entering a whole different world.
I know. You can't. It's great if you're OCD, like, or OCT. It's perfect. If you like go, oh, I just want control over everything.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. That is the thing for you.
Yeah.
But can you think of anything else in a restaurant besides make your own fajitas that is like that?
Mongolian Grill.
Mongolian Grill. No, you just pick the ingredients, but mm-hmm. then you don't like then get behind the counter and work the grill. You know, there's at one point you hand it off to. No, it wouldn't. It's called being at home. It's like you hand it off to the professional.
Do you remember?
It's the one thing that the professional has no dealings with.
I guess so.
So what are you paying for? Bring your own tea bag. They just poured you a cup of hot damn water. What did you just pay for? Nothing. Really nothing. It's the biggest ripoff in the world.
Well, it's all a ripoff.
Man, I think like
– All food is a ripoff.
I think someone who cooks you a plate of eggs, mm-hmm. you have got someone who has either trained at a culinary school or has like made enough eggs in their life that they know how to make a damn plate of eggs.
Okay.
That's a thing. So yeah, and I'm saying this with, once again, my sister-in-law, Victoria, makes people tea, you know, a couple of times a week at her job in the tea shop.
Yeah.
And I am not. But she makes it for them. Yeah. She doesn't go, good luck. She makes the damn stuff for you. And she'll come up to you and she'll go, you should probably keep the bag in there for about 6 minutes. And here you go. And they've got that whole wall of tea and the whole business.
Yeah.
But they actually have professionals that come around.
Does she say that to them? You should keep it in there for about 6 minutes?
She tells you exactly how long you should keep it in. And it's
so you have to take the tea bag out.
You have to. That's right. But the
professional. Oh, Ian, you are falling apart.
No, the Your professional has given you instructions here. As to what to do.
Oh, dear.
Really? So the person who comes and delivers you the thing goes, the plate is very hot. I'll show you. Grab, burn. Like, listen, it's the same deal.
Yeah.
They're giving you solid advice. If you don't want to take it, brother, that's up to you.
Yeah, it is up to you because maybe you don't like tea that's strong. Maybe you're going to take it out in 3 minutes.
Maybe you are. And maybe you go to your accountant and go, fuck that. I'm just going to make up numbers after you give me the correct thing.
What? No, there's no correct thing. It's a matter of taste.
Mm-hmm.
Food is a matter of taste. If someone gives you eggs and then they say to you, but don't put ketchup on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then walks away. Are you going to listen to them? If you like ketchup on your eggs, you're going to be like, fuck that guy. I'm going to have ketchup.
I got to say.
Don't use any salt and pepper.
Well,
puts the eggs down.
I would wonder why they said that because like if they say that, I would probably trust them at least for a couple of bites. When we go to and we don't often because it's like so expensive, but when we go to Tojo's and they serve you sushi there, they will tell you either like no soy sauce, don't put soy sauce on this, or do because they're professionals, they know what they're doing, they're the best sushi folks in the city, maybe in North America, and they know what they're talking about. You know, and I get when you go to the corner diner, you know, they're not, you know, they're there for different reasons. Maybe they've made some bad life choices. You don't know what the waitress's problem is.
Yes.
I'm assuming a pregnancy when she was a teenager. There's something going on. Mm-hmm. I don't need the backstory. I'm not going to say the backstory. I know one thing, and that she and the chef in collaboration are going to bring me food that's prepared by professionals, with the one exception, tea. That's the end. And now we're going in tea circles here, and I'm getting very angry, Dave. Maybe it's my lack of caffeine.
Yes. As I said, you're crabby and decaffeinated.
That is possible. I've been trying to get off the caffeine and the sugar, though I did have a lemonade tonight. Maybe that's it.
Why are you getting off sugar?
Just because it's kind of my it's kind of my big vice. It's always been like my big decadent vice. Like when I was a young fella and my big kind of break from shitty childhood was going to my grandparents' house, where I would sort of make comic books out of construction paper, and I'd build things, and that was my creative time. That was my kind of safe time. We'd watch Monty Python. We'd have, and that's really sort of where my creative side came from. And there would be a lot of like hamburgers. We'd make hamburgers, and there would be like chocolate, and there'd be all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've got a real connection with that and what I do creatively. And I think, like, as time has gone on, health wise, I've realized I shouldn't be having as much sugar as I should. I shouldn't be having as much fat as I should.
Yeah.
But especially sugar is my big thing. So that's why I'm trying to like tone that down and pull back on that as much as possible. I tried at the beginning of this week to basically give up everything at the same time, and that made for some real cranky evenings with PN myself. She's been very patient over that, and I've been trying to find a balance on it. But yeah, try to give up like fatty things and caffeine and sugar all in the same time.
Yeah.
Good times. Wow. Good times with your, we'd like some dopamines, please. Nope. No, how about no? How's that sound, brain? Not so good, says brain. Wow. Let me make you an asshole for a while.
What? To me,
sugar is love. That's sugar basically is what love. It is. For
yeah.
Me,
well, I can see. There. I can see that. You know, and yeah. I went through my long sugar fast.
Right.
And it was pretty long. It was
right.
About 44 days or something like that.
And all you had to counter that was heroin.
Just the heroin.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sugar free heroin.
I sprinkled that on donuts.
Yeah, it was heroin light.
Yeah.
I call it.
Heroin zero. That's what I
That's
use.
That's what they call it. Yeah. Yeah, right. Sorry. Heroin light is for girls.
Yeah.
Heroin zero is for
That's
boys.
For,
so
yeah.
You're right.
Bloke. That's coke for bloke.
That's right.
Coke's for bloke.
No. Bloke coke is the cocaine
oh,
for
sorry.
Boys.
Oh, sorry. That's right. That's right. So I don't know.
I was going to go. And ho blow is for the cocaine okay. for really skanky women.
Okay. Is that, that's what it is?
I regret that joke. Please continue.
And el blow, that's for Latinos.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Why did I even say that? Anyway.
Yeah. Put a nickel in the hate crime
having
jar and
gone,
keep going.
Having gone through the that fast, mm-hmm. I really question the wisdom of completely cutting something out of your diet.
Yeah.
You know, because I think you focus way too much on that one thing. Like, I think it'd be better to have a cheat day in that time, or a day that you can have, do you know what I mean? You have your sugar day. It might be bi-weekly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you really want to cut it, it might be monthly,
mm-hmm.
but it's something that you can look forward to, that you know that there's that time that you're not never going to have sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
But it affects, like, to me, there is a physical effect that, like, if I do have sugar, then a couple hours later, like, especially with caffeine, if I have caffeine a couple hours later, I'm feeling it. Like, the heart rate's really going. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you got to prepare for that.
Well, I don't think you should be having caffeine. I don't drink coffee or anything like that. I'm
against
caffeine.
But the same sort of thing with sugar. Like, there are physical things that sugar does. So if you go without sugar for a long period mm-hmm. of time, and then you have, say, a sugar day, that'll make you sick as a dog, as, a Branwen Bigglestone will tell you. After.
Well, I mean, obviously, Branwen went insane and ate, like, 14 bags of chocolate.
Oh, clearly. Well, like, anything Branwen does should not be done by anyone else. I think – well, you've seen the show Jackass.
Yes.
Yeah. That is in no way what she does.
I have seen it, though.
That is nothing compared to Branwen Bigglestone.
Yeah.
Anything she does, you know, like, say, working for Image Comics, no one should do that.
No one should do that.
No one should do that.
Not the way she does it.
Not the way she does it.
Yeah.
No. Oh, my God. It would just tear you apart like
– Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like you're in some sort of a Dr. Manhattan – Trapped
yeah, exactly.
inside a thingy.
Exactly.
Stuff happening with atoms.
To know more about that, please read the Before Watchmen
Before
books.
Watchmen, yes. I highly recommend that one. That one's done by – who's doing that one?
That's Branwen.
Branwen's doing the Dr. Manhattan
Okay, I
shouldn't
Watchmen. Tell you this, but Branwen okay. Bigglestone, who works at Image Comics, former guest of the show, current possible friend. I don't know. I hope so.
I say current guest, former friend.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Yeah.
She is ghostwriting and drawing most of – the Before Watchmen books.
So she scares Puritans.
Oh, yeah.
You're telling me.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, she does.
Okay.
Yeah.
So people are escaping England, and then they're finding her writing comic books in America.
Yes.
Like, why did I come here?
Yes.
Ghosts again.
Yes, again.
Okay. Curious. I can't remember where I was going with that. Oh, the sugar thing.
Right.
But after my long sugar fast,
mm-hmm.
you know, I went back on the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, you know, my fast ended exactly the right time. You know, so like on Saturday night after Easter Vigil, I had hot cross buns. So,
oh, you should see a doctor.
I should?
Or just get more fiber in your diet.
I don't see the I don't see the joke there.
Well, of course you can't. Not from this angle.
That's true.
Please continue.
Because I'm sitting down?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Listen, and please, next time, don't use a glass chair.
And then the next day I had, you know, some chocolate and mm-hmm. and I don't think I went, you know, quite as overboard as Brian. We already put into that. But
yeah.
But I didn't suffer any ill effects. I didn't feel sick or my heart wasn't racing or anything like that.
No, I'm just telling you what happens to me. I know what I'm kind of a junkie for and it really comes down to just like impulse. It's like, you know, when you have a little bit of sugar or whatever, the next thing is an easier impulse to go to. It's just like, well, now I can have a burger. Like there, but if you don't, then it puts everything into a place where you're like, you think about it. It's like, to me, the trick is making myself think about things, not just impulsively have it. If I have like a box of Tic Tacs, I'm going to eat all of them just because they're there.
Yeah.
And you know, I won't even think about it. And it's like, they're gone. But you know, If I don't. Or if like I just have one Tic Tac, I'm fine. But if they're all there, they're there. And unfortunately, you live in a world now where you have access to everything. On the walk home after this, I'm passing by Tim Hortons. Yeah. And usually I'm finishing.
It's closed, though.
No, it's not. It's 24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm passing by the 24-hour Tim Hortons. I'm passing by the 24-hour Lucy's Diner. Then I'm passing by, which has got like the burgers and the milkshakes and whatever. Then I'm passing by the 7-Eleven. Then I'm passing by the Hasty Market. No, it is not. It's not the 70s where 7-Eleven was open from 7 to 11.
Okay.
Everything that's open when I'm done work is bad for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no healthy fruit stand or anything at that. Yeah.
You could jump into someone's backyard and steal apples from their tree.
I could be very Tom Sawyer-esque. I could get on a raft and I could go down the Mississippi. That is something I could do. Yeah. I just know I'm trying to find right now something that works for me. And yeah, the absolutes, I agree with you, do not work unless it's something like heroin, in which case, yeah, maybe an absolute is a good idea. And no one really needs the caffeine. Even it was nice once upon a time. It did its job. It was good. Like it really raises your mood. It really gets you going.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't use it, so I don't know. Like, I don't miss it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's something, if you're feeling depressed, a cup of coffee will take you out of that a little bit. Maybe to the point where then the thoughts that you were having, have run their course and they're done. You know, they won't take you as far down as they would have.
Okay.
So I see the use of it. But again, I'm not really a morning person, so I don't really like, hey, cup of joe and a bunch of eggs and a bunch of this. And it's like, meh, that's not for me. But yeah, I'm trying to find what works, and I'll keep you, the podcast listeners, updated whether you want me to or not.
Whether I want you to or not.
Yeah. No one. Are you saying you don't want to listen to me anymore? Well, that's good because we're out of time. And that's a bit of an awkward.
Oh, we are. We are out of time.
We are damn out of time.
Yes.
We are damn out of time.
Yeah, let's just stop right now. The last couple of shows have really gone on.
Really, so long. Some people have said they have it's really hurt their family life because they've been spending less time with their kids because they just want to see how the podcast ends.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of daddy, you know, and it's like, not now. Shut up, you. Yeah. I'm listening to the end of this podcast. But daddy, I know a lot of that business.
Yeah, well, after the last two shows, one of our listeners complained about having thighs like tree trunks because they were kind of stuck on the treadmill for the length of the show. It, you know, it did go on and on.
Yeah, so. That was Woody Johnson.
Woody Johnson, that's right.
Yeah, so that's okay.
Little Woody.
That's right. Made entirely of wood.
Is that true?
That's true.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yep.
His bark is worse than his bite.
Wow. No. That is the line. No. We're ending this podcast now. Done.
Okay.
That was wrong. No. Bad joke. Very bad joke.
It was a good joke.
No, it was not.
It was great.
There was nothing good about it.
It was great.
There was nothing good about it. That was the good. Holocaust of jokes.
It was not.
Thank you so much
Holocaust
for listening to Sneaky Dragon. If you want to come see me do stand-up comedy, I'm at a place called Amuse Bouche. That's at Slickety Jim's Chat and Chew in Vancouver. Once a month, the third Thursday of the month, I do a show called Titmouse, which we just came back from tonight.
Yes, we were there tonight. I'm suffering a little bit from bar throat.
You do. That's right. We can blame that joke on that. And
I'm not blaming it. I love that joke.
And if you like sketch comedy, I write for a show called The Irrelevant Show on CBC Radio. Okay.
Where you won't hear great jokes like that, believe me.
That's true because there's quality control. David, what are you doing this week? Anything we should know about?
Nope.
Okay, that's great. Thanks for preparing something every damn week. You know what? It would take, you know, what is it? Effort? Okay, listen.
Can't be bothered.
Maybe we're breaking up the podcast right now. I don't know. Tune in next week to find out.
Show 25. We can't break up before show 25.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay. If you want to go give us a like on Facebook, click. Just give us a like. What's that going to do? Just do it. And if you want to give us a review on iTunes, whatever crazy country you live in, whether you have umlauts, whether you put little houses on your E's.
Or you have that weird slash through the O.
That's right.
That's a weird one.
Instead of like E's, you use swastikas. We don't care. Just put up something and you can be honest. We're not asking for 5 stars. Whatever. Be honest.
Be honest. Okay. 5 stars. It's obvious.
And be honest. Say what you thought of Dave's joke just then. I've actually forgotten it. And I think if I was on caffeine and sugar, I'd remember it. So this is a blessing.
That's a memory loss
is a blessing.
You're lucky.
You know what else is a blessing? You, dear listener, thank you so much for putting up with our nonsense. It means a lot to us that you do. And I think we are done here. Thanks for listening to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick. Good night. And remember, Woody Johnson, his bark is worse than his bite.
Oh, damn it.